But now let's start with the presentation. I would like to hand over to Patrick, who will lead you through the presentation.
Thank you, Stephanie, and hello to everyone. I'm glad that you have joined our earnings call today. I will be brief in my presentation so that we have enough time for your questions afterwards. In the third quarter, we delivered again a strong revenue growth of around 20%, with an extraordinary increase in profitability of more than 46% in EBITDA growth. Overall, we are targeting another record year. The results after 9 months reflect our strong positioning in our industry, and I'm very confident to reach the upper end of our communicated guidance in terms of revenues and EBITDA margin. Let me give you a more detailed overview of the 9 months highlights on page 2. Our key figures for the first 9 months 2019. We continued with our strong growth and increased our revenues by around 23% year to date. Main drivers remained our recurring revenues with a growth of around 34% in the growth of roughly 28% in our international markets. EBITDA margin reached high 29.4%. This high margin was partly influenced by the new IFRS 16 leasing standard. The adjusted EBITDA margin would have been 26.7%. That is exactly on previous year level. Same time, we have a dilutive EBITDA margin in the managed segment, meaning that we are very pleased with our high profitability. Our cash conversion remains extremely high at 95.5%, so that we can continue to grow our business both organically and by acquisitions. On acquisition side, I mentioned already the two brand level acquisitions in the last quarterly call. We performed one in the managed segment and another one in the media segment. Both acquisitions will strengthen the development of the two segments. Additionally, we sold our minority stake in DocuWare. The positive one-time gain of around 30 million euros is shown in our financial results and increased our net results significantly. Let's turn to page 3. Some more details on our top key figures in the third quarter. We continued with our strong growth of around 20%. We benefited from a strong organic growth of 15.7% and the contribution of our new brand Spacewell. Please have in mind that a part of the Spacewell revenues were already consolidated since September last year. In Q3, we still saw a tailwind coming from the US dollar of around 2 percentage points of our growth. As already mentioned, recurring revenues from software maintenance contracts and subscription continued with a very strong growth of 31.5%. Our profitability with an EBITDA margin of 30.9% increased strongly, partly positively influenced by IFRS 16. The adjusted EBITDA margin of 28.2% is also above previous year level of 25.5%. Our EPS nearly tripled from 16 eurocent per share to 47 eurocent. The one-time gain of DocuWare sale of 29.9 million euros is shown in the financial results. Adjusted EPS also grew nicely by 32.4%. Let's turn to page 4 on the 9 months figures that show a similar picture. Cumulative growth was high at 22.7% with a strong organic growth of 17.2%. The currency tailwind improved our growth by around 3 percentage points. In the first 9 months, recurring revenues from software maintenance contracts and subscription were the main growth driver with a plus of 33.9%. Our profitability with an EBITDA margin of 29.4% was very high. The adjusted EBITDA margin without the IFRS 16 effects was exactly on previous year level at 26.7%. Some words to our margin situation. This year, we had acquisition-related costs and therefore an impact on our margins in Q1 from Axarion and Q2 from Redshift, so that margins were a bit lower. If we look to Q3, we had a low comparables because of the acquisition-related costs of MCS last year. All in all, we are very happy and we kept our margins year over year, while at the same time having a lower margin in our managed segment and continue to invest into future growth opportunities. As already mentioned, EPS was positively influenced by the one-time gain of DocuWare sale. The reported growth was more than 80%. The adjusted growth was at 24.5%. On page 5, you can see the distribution of our revenues in recurring and software licenses. Meanwhile, we have around 54% of our total sales in recurring revenues. We expect that this number will increase over the next quarters because of the smooth transition to subscription. Some of our brands, such as DRofus, Riser, and Spacewell, offer already subscription models. At the beginning of September, with Maxon, another brand has moved successfully towards a subscription-based business model that offers new customers very attractive options. You do not see any growth dip in this segment. All in all, our revenues in subscription grew strongly with a growth rate of around 120% in the first 9 months. End of the first 9 months, we have already 9% of our total sales in subscription. While we had a very strong growth in subscription, we showed a lower growth rate of 7% in our license business over the first 9 months. Both revenue types together underline our smooth transition to subscription and show great overall revenue growth and profitability. This successful approach remains unique in the industry and offers best choice and value to our customers and the company. On page 6, you see our international progress. The US remains a strong growing region. Scandinavia continued with an extremely strong growth of around 40%, but also Germany grew double digit. The picture also shows that we have balanced growth over all regions. Turning now to our segment overview on page 7. The build segment again achieved the strongest revenue growth with around 28%. Bluebeam remains strong, but also Nevaris is growing nicely. EBITDA margin was at high 32.7%. Adjusted EBITDA margin without the effects of IFRS 16 was with 29.5% above the previous year level. The design segment recorded a revenue growth of 11% in the first 9 months, that is in line with the expectations. Profitability increased strongly to an EBITDA margin of 29%. Even without the impact of IFRS 16, we had a margin increase to 26.4%. The managed segment was significantly strengthened through the acquisitions of Spacewell. All in all, we saw an extremely strong growth from 7.7 million to 27.2 million euro. Organic growth was also high at 14.1%. Due to the acquisition costs and the below average margin level at Spacewell, we saw a margin of 12.6%. Adjusted for the acquisition related costs, we would have seen an EBITDA margin of 18.1%, that is in line with our expectations. Revenue in the media and entertainment segment increased very nicely by 24.3%. The integration of Redshift is proceeding successfully. The viewer organic growth was still high with around 11%, while same time migrating to subscriptions in September. EBITDA margin is at 35% and lower than last year. But we are pleased with that number if we take the costs of the acquisition and the subscription readiness into account. Our cash generation shown on page 8 remains strong. Our cash conversion rate is on EBITDA is on high 95.5%. The operating cash flow increased strongly by around 58%. This growth reflects the strong operative performance, but we also saw positive effects from IFRS 16, a very efficient working capital management and lower tax paid. Cash flow from investing activity is mainly driven by our acquisitions, meaning Axarion and Redshift, and some higher capex. On the other side, we had a positive cash inflow from the DocUS sale. Cash flow from financing activities contains the dividend payment, the repayments of debts, and new loans for our acquisitions. This development is leading us toward a net debt situation of around 15 million euro by the end of Q3 2019. All in all, we have enough room to invest into our future growth, both organically and by acquisitions. Let's come to the end of my presentation on page 9. With our strong basis for the 9-month figures, we are very confident to reach the upper end of our guidance in terms of revenues and EBITDA margin. Organic growth will continue on the level we saw in the last quarters. A part of the revenues from Spacewell were already consolidated in Q4 last year, so that total growth, as expected, will come down a little bit because of this effect, but will stay in the range of 17 to 19%. From today's perspective, and based on the current portfolio, we are planning to reach our revenue for 2019 at the upper end of the communicated range of 540 to 550 million euro, which translate into a year-on-year growth of 17 to 19%. Group EBITDA margin with the IFRS 16 effects for 2019 is expected to reach the upper end of the target of 27 to 29%. Thank you very much for your ongoing interest into the Nemetschek Group. I'm now happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. Now we will begin our questions and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find that your question has been answered before, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using a speaker equipment today, please lift your handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. We have a question from Eric Carlson from KU Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. The EBITDA margin was very strong in the quarter. Could you just help us understand if there's any one-off effects or anything else helping the margin, or if we can extrapolate the strength in the margin?
Hi, Eric. Good morning. Yes, of course. And as I said slightly in the presentation, that the comparables to the year before in Q3 last year, we had the MCS acquisition with the full cost effect in Q3. And obviously then we have a higher growth this year. That's the only one-off effect we can announce. But on the other side, of course, we have the operational efficiency within the, within this margin as well. So we are all in line and this is on plan. And the one-off effect, as I mentioned, is the comparable to the year before.
This is very helpful. Thank you so much.
Yes, of course.
We have a following question from Martin Jungfleisch from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I have two. The first one is on the guidance. If we assume the upper end of the guided range of around 550 million, this would, I think, on my numbers, only result in a Q4 growth of around 10%. And if you add the contribution from M&A and probably an FX tailwind, to be even a bit lower. Can you maybe explain a little bit what has driven this cautiousness in the guidance, why you not have maybe upgraded the guidance slightly? That's the first question. And then on my second question is on the strong growth in subscription that you saw. Do you now see an increased demand from your customers for subscriptions? And also, do you plan to offer additional brands for subscription and maybe also through a maintenance to subscription offer? And also, on that end, can you remind me how the economics would look like going from maintenance to subscription and if that would be a net positive to your earnings? Thank you.
Thank you, Martin, for the questions. Coming to the guidance part, I mean, as you know, us as a very fair and open communicator in our figures, we are also clear about this currency headwind always and very transparent. And we do see the guidance, obviously, to the blend rate. And this is why we will communicate also the impacts from the currency headwind, which will be high this year. And we assume another one in Q4. And we feel comfortable even to the blend rate to reach the guidance. And this means, and that said, we don't increase the guidance because of a currency headwind. And this is what maybe other companies would do, but we not. So we feel confident even on the blend rate to reach the guidance. And there is no cautiousness. This, as I said, growth will continue in the organic part. In the overall part, it will come down a bit because you need to consider Q4 already consolidated MCS last year, but it will stay in the range of 17 to 19. Coming to your second question of subscription, we don't see any big changes from customer side. But we do see another brand rolling into subscription very successful, and that's Maxon. There's only 1 month in the quarter, and it started very well. As you can see also from our press release, it's historically seen the best month in the best September Maxon had ever. And this is what we want to challenge, as you know, all our brands moving to subscription. Yes, of course, there will be upcoming brands in the next quarters or in the next years, I would say, and we will announce it brand by brand. And the second question you related to subscription is very difficult to answer for me in a professional way because, as you know, we have 16 brands with completely 16 different models behind. And that said, I can't give you a general answer how maintenance would transform to subscription, but obviously we will do it when it happens per brand. So I can't give you the economics behind because it just doesn't exist for the Nemetschek Group. By the way, this is also an advantage we having as a group, as we are not having one product needed to move to subscription. We as a financial holding here as well can always decide which brand goes first, which brand comes now, and this is why this is much easier to manage. Hopefully that answers your questions a bit, at least.
Yes, thank you. That's helpful. So the guidance is still on a euro US dollar rate of 117 or 118?
It was on the blend rate on
119.
119. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Our thank next you. Question is from Knut Woller from Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for taking my questions, a couple. And Patrick, you touched it already a bit on earlier when you talked about the strong subscription trend. However, it seems like 2019 is the first year where we see a slightly slowing license momentum going forward, and also getting back to Martin's question before, that you expect more brands to move to subscriptions. How should we think about license growth going forward on the back of this development, with more brands likely moving to subscriptions or at least offering also this way to consume or buy this software? Then secondly, on the special investments, can you update us what of the invest was booked in the first 9 months? And then I lastly would like to get some more insight into the build segment. Can you break out how Bluebeam fared and also what to expect here, whether there has been any reason to change your assumptions on the growth you expect for Bluebeam also over the medium term? Thank you.
Thank you, Knut, for the questions. And coming back to the license growth, I mean, we would, from today's standing and perspective, we would remain with what we said the last couple of quarters, or this year at least, that we expect license growth moving forward in high single-digit growth. Yes, in Q3, we had some nicely, even more than maybe expected, because Maxon did very well in Q3 with that move into subscription, and that's also great. This is why we always say you need to see both revenue streams together, leading to a nicely revenue growth in the organic corridor of 13 to 15. So expect, and it's very difficult, Knut, as you know, to guide for me and for us, because this is really relating to the subscription move as well. But I would assume that high single-digit license growth is still realistic, also looking to the year, to the next year. In the special investments, no updated. This is why I did not really relate into my presentation. I would say 75% as we go moving forward. Q3, they are all running well. And there's no really a special update for that one. Of course, when we have updates with go-to-market things, we always said we will announce them. And you could expect in next year something coming up, but this is all in line and all running well. To the build segment, I would say, as we also stated, Bluebeam, two price increases. You might remember that one the last 2 years. So don't expect Bluebeam to stay with a revenue CAGR of more than 30%. But in the high teens. And this is already going a bit down, not negatively meant, but going a bit down, because we always said that it will flatten out for this year. But still, it's a great performance. And the great performance is coming from everywhere, still in the US business, but also in European business, also for Germany, where they started last year. So also in that build segment is nicely performing Nevaris. This is why, since a couple of quarters, I can expressingly name them in a presentation, because they are really doing nicely. They are clearly above the operative growth guidance of 13 to 15. So they are really doing well, and we really appreciate their performance, which helps the build segment, of course, to get it on a broader base, performing more than 13 to 15% in the growth guidance. Hopefully that helps and answers your question.
Yeah, thanks, Patrick. Just one question to clarify with regards to the special investor. I only tried to get a feeling what was used already. And was it 75% that you have used of the special invest plan for this year in the first 9 months? Okay, that was understood correctly. And then maybe just finishing off on a personal note, congratulations on the performance of the last years. of Nemetschek, the whole team, and under your leadership, I think it's quite remarkable looking at the growth and margin profile against the backdrop of the overall trends in the industry. And all the best for your future.
Thank you very much for your kind words, and I appreciate it very much. And thank you for your trust. Thank you.
We have a next question from Chandler Silverman from MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. And all the very best from me as well, Patrick. So just a couple of things from my side. In terms of build margins, I mean, they continue to be very strong. Do you have a sense of where the steady state margins for build should be? The other question, second question for me is, now that Maxon is moving quite aggressively to subscriptions, we see some impact on the profitability. Could that be used as a reference in terms of how potentially the whole of Nemetschek could move in the medium term? Thanks.
Thank you, Chandra, also for your greetings. Also here, I appreciate our cooperation. Thank you. For the build margins, definitely, that's very difficult because we need to see how the price increase obviously went into the business, what we see, what we're going to invest in the future, in the upcoming periods into. But all in all, I think the upper end of the 20s is reasonable for the moment. It depends also on the growth profile, how Bluebeam will move forward when we stay in the high teens and with that margin level. So I don't give a guidance today, but obviously they having the operational efficiency, and please take into consideration also the price increase. For the Maxon part, it's, as we always state, I mean, subscription is not immediately moving to a margin increase. In the midterm and in the long run, yes. But for this year, all the lower margins, what you see, is getting ready for subscription. I mean, it's all the IT investments you need to do, 10-tube, licensing, all the Salesforce parts you need to make sure that subscription is running. So in the first year, you have clearly an investment to be subscription ready, but then afterwards, obviously, you scale it up. And that will also happen. So this is why I said we are extremely pleased to see such a high margin with no revenue dip moving to subscription, which is great. That's exactly the case we would like to be delivered from all brands, to be honest. Of course, expectation setting is then high for all the brands, but that's a great case to move to subscription.
Okay, great. And maybe one follow-up question on subscriptions again. So would you be able to, I mean, I know it's a difficult question to answer, but would you be able to give us a sense of, in terms of what percentage of products in your licenses are now completely available in subscriptions, just to get a sense of the progress in terms of this migration?
Yeah, I mean, we have now four brands in full subscription. This is DRofus, this is Riser in the design segment, this is Spacewell in the managed segment, and this is now Maxon into the media and entertainment. I would say from a feeling what market is expecting is the next ones are being closer to subscription demands is definitely the build and manage segment. In the design segment, we don't have so much high request moving to subscription. And we bought Riser and DRofus in full subscription into. So I would expect that brands in design, in build and manage would go next to this, to this world. In the design segment, we don't feel a pressure here from customer side. But of course, that doesn't mean that they don't have any plans. They have plans, but this will be next brands. So all in all, four brands at the moment, and it makes us and leads us at the moment to 9% of the overall revenues coming from pure subscription. Okay, Chandra?
Okay, thank you. We have a follow-up question from Mika Zimmerman from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I got actually three. The first one is for your quasi-guidance upgrade. Do you also guide for the upper end of the organic growth rate of 13 to 15%? That's the first one. The second one is regarding the margin levels in design and build. Do you think you could look at it right now as kind of a normalized level? I mean, this one is excluding now the M&A, the acquisition costs of last year. So from my point of view, it could actually be a normalized one. The last one is on Maxon. I mean, yes, Maxon was very successful now with the subscription switch, and as I understood, there was no revenue dips. But did you actually also see no churn, like no customer churn at all? Those three questions. Thank you.
Of course. So definitely for the organic growth rate, we will definitely see it similar because that goes in line with the overall growth, as you know, 13 to 15, 17 to 19. So I would even confirm that also for the organic growth. And that was the first question. The margin level, that's I needed to smile a bit. Of course, you would love to see that as a normalized, but a lot of things around, and I would like to wait a little bit with the word normalized because you also know that there's a high impact of IFRS, and we started the year with having an IFRS impact around 2%, but now we have a bit more, so that means 2.5% is reasonable at the moment, even 2.6. So let's see the year how IFRS impacted. And then on the other side, you are absolutely right for acquisition costs, all the one-off effects that also relate to the growth rates we are delivering. So we always say the following, and we remain like this, into that organic growth rate 13 to 15 and continue to invest into that one to keep it sustainable. A reasonable guidance for margin is 27 to 29. So, but let's see how IFRS impact brings us maybe to a different level. And then, of course, the growth rate is depending on the margin level. Because if we would only grow 10 to 12%, you would definitely see the higher margin most realistic with the three as the single digit, the first single digit around that one. And Maxon, no, to be honest. At the moment, not. We don't see any churn here, even the opposite. I mean, this is really great what we now have for possibilities to attract the customer base much broader and larger with Maxon, but also see it realistic from an expectation setting. It's only 1 month. So the first 1 month, we are all amazed and all happy, but let's see in Q4, we are very optimistic, and also for the organic growth rate, you won't see any dip, also not for next year, but all the KPIs around it and all the sustainable success, not only coming from 1 month, we will report, obviously, in the next possibilities we have.
Perfect. Thank you. And just a few words from my side. It was great getting to know you over the last month. And I need to agree with the others. You did a remarkable job, and I wish you all the best for your future.
That's very kind. Thank you very much. And all the best to you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from Andrew de Garsbury from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Maybe first, traditionally with the subscription models that we've seen, the model exhibits lower churn. I'm just wondering if you've seen that happen with the brands that have converted?
Yes, but also, I mean, all the brands we bought them into with subscription, and here churn is definitely low. All in all, churn in the Nemetschek Group is low. I mean, we are below 2.5%, around the 2.5%, which is amazing as a software company, I think. But also here for the subscription, and also I mentioned it already to Maxon, I can confirm that view. Yes.
Got it. And then maybe secondly, I know this was asked in the past, but the macro construction indicators have turned recently, and some of your peers have flagged weakness, particularly in the Americas. I was just wondering if you've seen that at all, or are you still essentially immune to that trend?
Of course, we see it as a management. And what I always state fairly here, if a really worldwide crisis would occur, then Nemetschek would not be squeezed out, and we would have some hits. But on the other side, we are clearly a little bit, let's say, away from those macroeconomics as we stand for the digitalization in our AEC workflow. And that one, as you know, has to be done with the BIM regulations coming obligatory in 2020, blah, 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 and all the efficiency part, for example, for the build segment. I mean, what they do with our investment, they increase their profitability. So this is why we don't see any trends here coming up. Of course, we also see some regions per quarter on a quarterly base might be weaker, but then they catch up. And this is why my international chart from my presentation is very important. Overall, we are clearly satisfied with all regions. And this is why we keep an eye onto that one, but it's at the moment it doesn't appear in our industry. If it would appear, then you know, and I'm always telling it, we have a lot of risk diversifications and things to react. I mean, we are now along that overall value chain. We are the only provider from an end-to-end process in AEC. We can, of course, treat the investments differently, so we can increase margin as a software company. You can react very fast. We have now 54% in recurring revenues. All such things would help. We're not saying that it needs to be done now, but it would help. But all in all, no, we don't see anything at the moment.
Great, thanks, and good luck, Patrick, on your next steps.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the team.
Thank you.
From Berenberg. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a following question from Eric Carlson from KU Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. I had another question on the subscription move. Clearly, you remain customer-focused and let the customers decide the pace as opposed to sort of the financial aspect that we have seen some other companies take. But purely from a financial aspect, could you just help us understand a little bit, what is the payback of the move to subscription?
Also, here, I can't give you an overall satisfying answer. It depends on the brands, again, how they move into. But you are clearly right, and I want to stress it again. In our world, not the financial model will influence the financial the subscription move from the brands. It's more the customer preposition. And as we said here with the Maxon case, also the Redshift acquisition in the year beginning helped very much to make that successfully. And because now we are adding an added value for customers and can move them combined with this added value, meaning offering Redshift to subscription. But it depends on an overall return on investment is very difficult to mention. But obviously, as you said, the customer proposition first, and then the financial model will be successful. Because otherwise, we would really risk churn, and that was the question before in all the questions before. So, I can't give you an overall general answer.
Okay, thank you. And on behalf of all investors, Patrick, thank you for all your hard work and exceptional results for investors over time.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your comment, and thank you for the trust to everyone.
We have a next question from Hüller Schmidt from Mensler Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. The first one is, could you give us an update on the efforts to increase your exposure to the infrastructure market segment? And the second one is on your product portfolio. If we look into your product portfolio and regional setup, where do you see the strongest need for M&A activity?
Yes, of course. Thank you, first of all, for the question. For the infrastructure exposure, we already saw, and this is what we communicated, but not this today, you're right, an overproportional growth to the buildings market. So this year is interesting because they are normally highly state-driven. Infrastructure are all about streets, tunnels, bridges. They are growing a bit stronger than the buildings part. And that's obviously interesting for us. I mean, we have amazing tools to get exactly into that one. Take Alblan Bridge, what we announced last year. Alblan Bridge is one of the most progressed and modern tools to really design bridges in 3D, and this is really working very well. So infrastructure part, as it is now, a little bit more than 25% of our portfolio becomes critical and crucial also in crisis times and is a nice part of our overall portfolio. In terms of regions, products, our managed segment, I would say, is highest priority to invest further. As it is quite a new segment, as you know, we recently invested with two brands here into, and a lot of opportunities. Second, I would say, remains build, and then I would never exclude design, but definitely from a priority, or let's say from the opportunities as well, it's maybe not as given as in the build or managed segment. And in M&E, I would say it's all about brand level acquisitions. We would not go further with a top additional brand, but for brand level acquisition, it remains interesting. Hopefully that answers your question.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you very much. It was my pleasure being able to work with you, and all the best for your future as well.
Very kind. Very. Thank you, and also the same to me. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no other questions for the moment.
Okay, then apparently it's up to me. I would like to thank you for the last couple of years. Today is my last call to the community, but obviously I will jump to some of the remaining conferences with Stephanie, so we will have a chat maybe, one to each other. I also would like to thank you. Nemetschek brought me a lot. I think I could contribute a bit to Nemetschek as well the last couple of years. It was a personal decision. I will continue to love Nemetschek, and Nemetschek is a great system which will move forward and being very successful in the future. So I'm happy to see you in one place or the others, and I really would like to thank you for all your trust you brought in, the big discussions, the nice discussions we had, and I will personally wish you all the best for your future. And also, I'm making sure that I transition all the topics to Axel Kaufmann, who will be a great leader to move that forward to the next stage. And you won't see any topics on the street, lying on the street and not being solved. And Nemetschek will be successful in the future. And this is why I continue to love Nemetschek. Thank you very much, and all the best, and have a nice year-end race. Patrick, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's web conference. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.